Oscure. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Mary, for that wonderful communion. Thank you, Ed, for presiding this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for all of you that's here today. Thank God for those on Zoom. Thank God that it's Lonnie's birthday and she's so happy because she got her mama here today. Kayla, we thank God for Kayla that's being here with us today. It's a blessing from the Lord. It is. It's a blessing from the Lord. Amen. Amen. When Ed read the scripture this morning about in every circumstances give thanks, I told Donnie, I said, that's a message right there that could preach this morning. Being thankful. Because every day should be a day of thanksgiving. Y'all remember that song? Every day is a day of thanksgiving. So we thank God for that. And you cannot be thankful and mad and upset at the same time. You can't be down and be thankful at the same time. If you go around there being thankful and thank God and praising Him, it's going to lift you up. You're going to start feeling better. Whatever ails you, you're going to start feeling better. So we just praise God for being here this morning. We thank God for all of you. And we thank God for Miss Lonnie's birthday today. She's 6 years old, like Ed said. We're going to go to the Word of God this morning. And the word for today is forgiveness. Forgiveness. And every time I would try to think about forgiveness, the title of the message for today seemed like obedience would come to my mind. Now, I've already preached on obedience one time. We can hear it more than one time, but then I was sitting there, I think, okay, forgiveness is an act of obedience. You know, we are told to forgive. And when we forgive others, that's an act of obedience. You know, every time we walk in the word of God and do what God has commanded us to do or told us to do, we're walking in a obedience. It's an act of obedience. It's an act of obedience. A lot of time we think we're the one that's got to make it do and make it come forth, but no. You don't do that. You just obey. You know, be willing to do it. And that's an act of obedience, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. So let's go to, so today we're going to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiveness. Not so easy to do all the time. Let's look at Matthew 18, 21 and 22. This is what Peter told Jesus. And Peter thought he was saying something. He sure did. Matthew 18, 21 says this. I'm reading from the King James Version. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, Peter thought he was being very generous, didn't he? This 22nd verse says this. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That's 490 times. And this is a daily thing, y'all. This ain't talking about a year. This is every day. Has anyone had ever had anyone offend you or injure you 490 times in one day? No. So that means every time we need to forgive, we ought to forgive. We ought to forgive. Forgiveness is not easy. But it has been misunderstood. It's a misunderstood subject. And it's not always taught biblically. It's not always taught biblically. It's not easy. And it's often misunderstood. We've all heard that if you die with unconfessed sin, you will go to hell. This also includes the sin of unforgiveness. But is this biblical? The thing is it biblical? We're going to look at today at what Jesus said about forgiveness. We're going to look at what the Episcopal, the early church says about forgiveness. And did Jesus' atonement for sin include the sin of unforgiveness? Unforgiveness is a sin. Did Jesus atone for that sin or did he not? So what is unforgiveness? You know what? Unforgiveness, I couldn't even find in the dictionary. In the dictionary, it says unforgiving because it's a verb. When you are unforgiving, that's an action. Unforgiving means unwilling or unable to forgive. Sometimes you're unwilling to forgive. Sometimes you're so traumatized, you just are not able to forgive. It takes God to help you forgive. And so what is something that might be unforgivable? Unforgivable means too bad to be forgiven, not forgivable. And some people think some things are unforgivable. You think it's too bad? I've heard people say that. They raped that person, that's unforgivable. They shot all those folks, that's unforgivable. They think some things are unforgivable, but what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And resentment is also part of being unforgiving. Resentment is a feeling of indignant displeasure or persistent ill will at something regarded as a wrong, insult, or injury. When you resent somebody for something, then that's being unforgiving. That's being unforgiving. So what did Jesus say about forgiving? What did he say about forgiving? What did he say about forgiving? We've already read Matthew 18, 21 and 22. When Peter asked Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? But Jesus said up to 70 times seven. There's a reason why Peter asked Jesus that question. And if you read your Bible, even if you don't read your Bible, I'm going to explain that to you. So why did Peter ask this question? Because in Matthew 18, 21 and 22, there was earlier scriptures where Jesus said things like this about forgiveness. In Matthew 6, 12, Jesus said this, "And forgive us our," it's the Lord's Prayer. And if you haven't read it in the scripture, you probably heard the Lord's Prayer repeated. And I'm just going to give you a portion of the Lord's Prayer that deals with forgiveness. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Okay, that's what Jesus said. We're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to why Jesus said that. And we're going to come back to, does that really hold true since he's been crucified and rose again? Jesus forgave sins before healing people. Now, Jesus forgave people before he healed them. Let's look at Matthew 9, 2. Matthew 9, 2. This is the one where the friends brought the paralytic man and led him toward the roof, led him down the roof so it could be healed. He couldn't walk. He was on a stretcher. And they wanted Jesus to heal him. So they couldn't get in the door, throw the roof off, let the man down in front of Jesus. And verse 2 says in Matthew 9, "Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven.'" Notice what Jesus didn't do. He didn't say anything to the man about confessing his sin before he was forgiven. He didn't tell the man, "Tell me everything you did, what you've been doing, what sins you committed. You confess your sins and I'll heal you." Didn't say none of that, did he? All he said was, "Be it, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." So does someone have to ask you to forgive them before you forgive them? No. You forgive them. You forgive them. It's okay to ask for forgiveness, but our part, we're supposed to forgive them whether they come and ask us or not. Let's go to Matthew 18, 23 and 35. And I'm going to read in the Passion Translation. This also is what Jesus said to Peter after he told Peter about forgiveness, forgiving the brother. Matthew 18, 23. I'm going to read in the Passion Translation. Matthew 18, 35. I'm going to read the Passion Translation. It's just another translation of the Bible. Okay, I'm not going to start at 35. I'm going to start at the very beginning of that parable. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. But I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. This is after Peter said, You know how many times I'm going to give my brother? Seven times. Jesus said, no, 70 times 70. So then Jesus starts giving Peter this parable. The lessons of forgiveness in heaven's kingdom realm can be illustrated like this. This is what he said, that forgiveness looked like in the heaven's kingdom realm. I'm gonna also explain to you why Jesus said what he said, but I'm gonna go through this first. There once was a king who had servants who had borrowed money from the royal treasury. He decided to settle accounts with each of them. So the king had some servants. All the servants borrowed money from the king. Okay, they borrowed money. You know, when you borrow money, you promise to pay it back, don't you? Yeah, you do. Verse 24, as he began the process, it came to his attention that one of his servants owed him $1 billion. In the King James Version, it says another amount, but it equal to what? That amount here now. That's a lot of money, ain't it? $1 billion. So he summoned the servant before him and said to him, pay me what you owe me. He was only right to ask for him to pay him back, wasn't it? When his servant was unable to repay his debt, the king ordered that he be sold as a slave along with his wife and children and every possession they owned as payment toward his debt. The servant threw himself face down at his master's feet and begged for mercy. Please be patient with me. Just give me more time and I'll repay you all that I owe. I'm thinking, I don't care how much time he gives, you ain't gonna have to be able to pay back no $1 billion. You know, that's a lot of money. How you gonna pay that back? And what do we do sometimes? Sometimes we borrow more than we're able to pay. And sometimes it's not only money, sometimes we hurt people or people hurt us, you know, and it's more than they can ever repay for. How you gonna give back? How if the people that go out and shoot people and kill them, just randomly kill people. How are you going to repay somebody for taking their child's life? How are you going to repay a husband for his wife or a wife for a husband's life? There are some things you just cannot repay. Verse 27, upon hearing his plea, the king had compassion on his servant and released him and forgave his entire debt. So he had mercy on him. He begged for mercy. He received mercy. The king released him. He didn't have to pay. He was free from that debt. He was free from that debt. Just like Jesus died on the cross for us, paid for all our sins, and once we receive him as our Savior, what? We're free from all the debt sin. All the debt that came from sin, we're free. Verse 28. No sooner had the servant left when he went met one of his fellow servants, okay? He was forgave his debt. Now he meets somebody to owe him some money. No sooner had the servant left when he met one of his fellow servants who owed him $20,000. Now, $20,000 is a lot less than a billion, isn't it? He seized him by the throat and began to choke him, saying, you better pay me right now everything you owe me. My goodness. His fellow servant threw himself face down at his feet and begged, please be patient with me. If you'll just give me time, I will repay you all that is owed. But the one who had his debt forgiven stubbornly refused to forgive what was owed him. He refused to give mercy to this man when mercy had been given to him. He had his fellow servant thrown in prison and demanded he remained there until he repaid the debt in full. When the associates saw what was going on, they were outraged and went to the king and told him the whole story. The king said to him, you scoundrel, is this the way you respond to my mercy? Because you begged me, I forgave you the massive debt that you owed me. Why didn't you show the same mercy to your fellow servants that I showed to you? In a fear of anger, the king turned him over to the prison guard to be tortured until his debt was repaid. And I'm going to read verse 35 in the King James Version. Verse 35 says this. I can get back to it. Oh, here it is. Matthew 8:35, New King James Version. So my heavenly Father will also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So to Jesus, unforgiveness or not forgiving somebody was a big deal. Especially if you wanted to be forgiven. If you wanted to be forgiven, Jesus is saying, if you want mercy, you got to show mercy. You got to give mercy. You got to give it. And then this is something else Jesus said about unforgiveness. Mark 11:25. We're just going to go through some scriptures and see what Jesus said about forgiveness. Mark 11:25, New King James Version said this. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. We are told to forgive. Forgiving is important. It's important to forgive. And verse 11:26 said, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So there was a condition of receiving your forgiveness in the old under the old covenant. You had to forgive. You want to be forgiven? You had to forgive. Luke 6:37 says this, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Luke 6:37. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sin against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Forgive him. Okay. You're supposed to forgive if they don't repent. You're supposed to forgive, especially if they repent. If they ask you to come and repent, say, please forgive me. We are supposed to forgive. Luke 17:4. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day return to you saying, repent, you shall forgive him. Okay. The Message translation says this for Luke 17:3 and 17:4. Be alert. If you see your friend going wrong, correct him. If he responds, forgive him. Even if it's personal against you and repeat it seven times through the day, and seven times he says, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, forgive him. Forgive him. Okay. Those are the things Jesus said about forgiveness. So let's talk a little bit about that. These are all things before Jesus went to the cross. He was teaching on forgiveness. This is what he was saying. They were under the old covenant. Jesus hadn't died yet. He hadn't been raised yet. He hadn't paid for nobody's sins yet. And I want you to know that forgiveness and trust are different. Just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean you can trust them yet. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. Especially if you give somebody trust, you know, you can trust them when you first meet and you feel like you can trust them. Then if they violate that trust, then you forgive them, but you cannot, you know, start trusting them again. That trust has to be earned. Amen. If somebody might steal something from somebody, and I always use rape cycles, you stealing this time. Somebody steals something from you, you forgive them for stealing, but you don't trust them with your pocketbook. You don't trust them with your valuables. You know, they might steal again. You forgive them, but you don't trust them till they earn that trust. There's a difference between trust and forgiveness. Okay. Please note that all this teaching that I read to you out of the Gospels was done under the old covenant to a spiritually dead people. Okay. All the teachings Jesus did in the Gospel were under the old covenant to a spiritually dead people. Nobody was able to be born again to what? After Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection. So that's how forgiveness was dealt with at that time. So note that. Spiritually dead people had to be ministered to by what they could see, hear, feel, touch, smell, the five senses. That's how Jesus had to deal with them. The law of God is now what? Written in our hearts. We have received grace and the Holy Spirit. People that don't know grace or haven't received grace aren't living in all that has been provided for them. And some people are born again, but they don't know grace. They don't know the grace of God. They don't know what Jesus has already done for them. So some people, what? They're living in grace. They're living in grace and the law. They got some grace. They got some law. Grace saved them, but now they think law got to keep them. Tradition and rules and that's got to keep them. But by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's the grace of God that saves us. Then Colossians tells us That, you know, the same way we receive Jesus, we need to walk in that grace. If it took grace to save you, it's going to take grace to keep you. It's going to take that same grace for you to live, not trying to follow rules and regulations. If you follow the grace of, if you walk in the grace of God, if you walk in, follow the Holy Spirit, walk in the Spirit, you are a law within yourself, the Bible says. Because what? The Holy Spirit is going to lead you in every way of God, all the goodness of God. He's going to lead you to forgiveness. There's no way a child of God is born again. The Holy Spirit's going to deal with you about forgiveness. It might take a while for him to deal with you, but after a while, you're going to have to deal with that thing. He's going to bring it up. Trust me. He's going to bring it up. And you're going to be praying. You might be reading the word. You might be in church. It might not be wherever you are, but the Holy Spirit going to say, he's going to start digging right there in your heart where that thing is. Okay, what about this? Have you forgiven this? You need to take care of this. Holy Spirit's going to point a spotlight on it. So because what he's trying to do, he's trying to get you to forgive. He's trying to get you to forgive. He's not going to say, tell you, you know, if you don't forgive that person, you're going to hell. Holy Spirit ain't going to say that. He's going to say, you need to forgive. Forgive. You've been forgiven. Forgive. The law of God is not written in our hearts. Okay, Jesus on the cross. Let's look at Jesus on the cross. Look at Luke 23, 34. Luke 23, 34. You're talking about forgiveness. Forgiving. Luke 23, 34. Jesus hanging on the cross. This is what Jesus said on the cross. Suffering on the cross. He was up there. They've already whipped him. You know, blood streaming down. And they had put a crown of thorn on his head. And he was hanging on the cross. And this is what he said. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Do you know when people do stuff to you, a lot of times, they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand what they're doing, especially if they're not saved. And sometimes saved folks don't realize what they're doing until the Holy Spirit let them know later. They don't know what they're doing. So Jesus said, forgive them. They don't know that they are do not know what they're doing. Sometimes we need to say, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, you forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus on the cross was asking the Father to forgive. Why? Because he is taking the punishment for the sins of the whole wide world. He could say that. Why could he say that? Because on the cross, what was he doing? All the sins of the whole wide world were placed on Jesus. All sin was placed on him. He didn't say, forgive, Father, forgive this sin, that sin, but don't forgive that one, Father. He just said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Forgive them, Father. Forgive them. This forgiveness has to be received. It has to be received. Jesus paid for us to be forgiven. He paid the price for us, and then he asked the Father to accept that price by forgiving us. The Father accepted it. He accepted it. For forgiveness to free someone, it has to be received. It has to be received. In order for us to be forgiven for all our sins and receive salvation and in our hearts, we have to receive the forgiveness that Christ offered us on the cross. We have to receive forgiveness for all our sins, past, present, and future. You got to receive that forgiveness. You got to receive that forgiveness. It has to be received. It has to be received. That's what Jesus on the cross. What about the resurrected Jesus? What did the resurrected Jesus say about sin? What did he say about sin? Let's look at John 20, 21. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. He met with his disciples. Matter of fact, the scripture says what? The door was shut. He walked right in. Wouldn't it be nice if a door is shut, we can walk right in? Wouldn't have to open the door, we could walk right in. But Jesus walked. The door was shut, but he walked right in. I can't imagine what the disciples might have been thinking about or where they saw him come in like that. But the Gospel of John 20, 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They now had received the Holy Spirit, the way to becoming a new creation. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Guess what? They received the Holy Spirit. They were born again. Verse 23 says this, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sin of any, they are retained." Notice they were given the Holy Spirit before this verse on forgiving. Forgiveness sets people free, Forgiveness sets people free, and not forgiving them causes bondage to them and you. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and that power in us makes us able what? To forgive sin. People are going to sin against you. They probably already sinned against you. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us to what? Forgive that sin. We can actually forgive a sin. There's nothing that's unforgivable that we cannot forgive that people do against us. We can forgive. Is it tough? Yes. Is it hard? Yes. But we can forgive sin because the Holy Spirit is in us. And when we forgive that sin, we set that person free. And we also set ourselves free. But if we retain that sin, that means if we don't forgive that sin will keep us in bondage. And I'm going to tell you a little later on what that sin will do to us if we have unforgiveness and don't forgive. Choose to forgive. Choose to be a people that forgive. I don't mean you got to trust everybody, but forgive. 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 So what does the epistles or the church say about forgiveness? What does the New Covenant say about forgiving? Forgiving the brother or sister who repents. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 12. We ought to forgive our brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to go there and read that, but you can go in 1 Corinthians and read this story. But in the Corinthians church, there was a young man that Paul said it was a great sin. Because this young man, he took his father's wife, which was not his mother, and he had sex with his father's wife. And it was in the church. And the church wasn't doing anything about it. And it upset Paul. And Paul told them, said, "This one, you ought not be eating and drinking with this one. You ought not be acting like he ain't done nothing." Paul said, "You should not even eat or drink with such a one. You should not hold company with such a one." And Paul said, we do that what? So that the body can be delivered to Satan, but the soul can be saved. Sometimes people will repent if they realize that we are not going to what? We're not going to be party to their sin. We're not going to act like it ain't nothing. We're not going to act like there's nothing wrong. There is something wrong. Do not partake of another believer's sin. We're not talking about unsaved folks. Unsaved folks are not saved. They don't do what unsaved folks do. You can't make unsaved folks be saved until they get saved. And you can't never make them saved anyway, even if they have to get saved. So, you know. But people that name the name of Christ and then sin, we're not supposed to associate with them. We're not supposed to act like everything's all right. And we do that so that they can what? Come to the repentance. The Amish people call it shunning. I mean, they do all kind of stuff that's not biblical, but but that's what it all boils down to. It boils down to shunning that person, not being in that person's company because of their actions or not in agreement with the word of God. But guess what? When they did that, the brother did repent. The brother did repent. So in 2 Corinthians 2, 5, it says this. Paul went and talked to them because after the brother repented, they didn't forgive him. They didn't take him back. They act like, okay, you done wrong. You can't never come back. Ain't the church like that today? Somebody do wrong. They cast them out. They ostracize them. They don't take them back. They don't forgive them. They just act like, you know, they ain't no more good. And that is not the way we're supposed to be. When the brother or sister repents, accept them back in. Forgive them. 2 Corinthians 2:5 says this. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. The next verse, this punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. Everybody shunned him. Everybody didn't have company with him. They acted like he was not a part of the church because of he was that open sin. Next verse, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him. Okay, now that he's repented, you ought to forgive and comfort him. Lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. Reaffirm your love to him. If somebody does something that's contrary to the church and you are not associated with them and then they repent, reaffirm your love to them. Let them know you forgive them. Take them back in. And not only the church, what about family members? Maybe a family member went astray. I've had some of my family went astray. I know y'all have too. But when the family members come back, you know, love on them. Love on them. Forgive them. Don't hold grudges. And saints of God, we ought not hold no grudges. We ought to be forgiving. Forgiving. Love on them. Let them know, okay, I forgive you. I forgive you. And don't wait too late to say, I forgive you. Sometimes somebody just waiting for you to say, I forgive you. Remember, I told you forgiving doesn't mean you trust them, but you do forgive them. You do say, I forgive you. I forgive you. I've had to ask people to forgive me, and I've had to tell people that I forgive them. It ain't so easy to ask somebody to forgive you as it is to say you forgive somebody. That's right, Mary. It ain't so easy to say, please forgive me. I done wrong. Will you please forgive me? I said something wrong. Will you please forgive me? But we're still supposed to do it. Okay. Love one another. You cannot walk in forgiving others if you don't walk in love. If you don't walk in love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. I'm going to read a few of those verses in there. New King James Version. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. That mean what? Love is meek. Love is humble. Next verse. Love what? Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Verse 6. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Lord Jesus. Love bears all things. Love bears all things. Sometimes we think we can't bear nothing. And I remember my life, I used to act like I couldn't bear nothing. Everything had to be just like I wanted it. It had to be just like when I wanted it. It had to be just right. You know, love bears all things. If it ain't perfect, bear with it. Amen. They might not be doing everything right now. Maybe they're just trying. But love bears all things. Love bears all things. And if you're walking in love and bearing all things, you are forgiving too. You are forgiving too. People make mistakes. We make mistakes. Sometimes, and I used to be this way too, sometimes it was hard for me to forgive myself. You got to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Learn to forgive you. God forgives you. You know, but we got to learn what? Forgive ourselves and forgive others. Learn to forgive. 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 There might be something in your past that you're thinking about that you have held against something or somebody. Forgive that thing. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Forgive that person. Forgive that incident. Let it go. Let it go and move on. Because until you let it go, you can't move on. You can't move on. So what about 1 John? 1 John talks about the confession of sin. Let's look at 1 John 1:6. It talks about confession of sin and forgiveness. Sometimes people look at this in the wrong way too. I'm going to read 1 John 1:6 and verse 7. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, We lie and do not practice the truth. Okay. If we say we fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. You can't be walking in darkness. Walking in unforgiveness in an area is walking in darkness. You can be walking in light in one area and walking in the darkness in another area. Because if you're walking in unforgiveness, then you're walking in darkness in that area toward that person or toward that situation or toward something in the past or whatever, then you're walking in darkness in that area. We lie and do not practice the truth. Sin would cause anyone to walk in darkness. And unforgiveness is sin. Not forgiving somebody, that's sin. So this could refer to a believer or a non-believer. A non-believer is walking in darkness because they're not saved yet. The believer can be walking in darkness in a certain area, and you need light in that area. And the Holy Spirit brings the light. Like I told you before, Holy Spirit will bring the light in the area. Holy Spirit will tell you, you need to forgive. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, you need to forgive yourself. And I got this motto. I have learned to laugh at myself. Have y'all learned how to laugh at yourself? You just laugh at yourself. You do something silly or you do something wrong. You know, you make a mistake. You just laugh at yourself. Rather than being hard on yourself, just laugh at yourself. Let that thing go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, okay, we're talking about forgiveness. As we walk in forgiving others, as we walk in forgiving others, then we walk in the light. And he is in the light. He is not in the unforgiveness, but he is what? In the forgiving others. Guess who's in that unforgiveness? The devil, Satan. He's in all that unforgiveness stuff. But if we walk in forgiving, then we're walking in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, as we walk in the light, allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Walking in the word of God, guess what? The Holy Spirit is what? Constantly cleansing us of all sin. We commit sins, we don't even realize we commit the sin. We don't know it. But what? Holy Spirit, what? Constantly cleansing us of all sins in us because what? We're walking in the light. We walk in the light we know. And the more light we walk in it, we know, the more Holy Spirit cleanses us. But then it might come a day the Holy Spirit said, okay, take care of this right here. It's time to do it. When the Holy Spirit says it's time to take care of something, and we need to stop and take care of it. Forgive or whatever we need to do. And we continue to walk in the light as he is in the light. And when we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ, what? Cleanses us from all sin. It cleanses us from all sin. So this verse here, these verses are talking about believers, and it's also talking about unsaved people. But you know what? It was written to save folks. As we walk in the light of the Holy Spirit, then we are constantly being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. All our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. And the blood will never lose its power. It will never lose its power. Somebody said something one time and said, how can Jesus forgive you of a future sin? And then somebody told him, said, you better hope he can believe you a future sin. Because what? Jesus died a long time ago on the cross. When he died on the cross, all our sins were future sins, weren't they? All of them were future sins. So the blood will never lose its power. And verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If you have unforgiveness, you're not forgiving like you're supposed to, don't say that you have no sin. Because you're deceiving yourself if you don't. And ain't. I'm talking about forgiveness this morning, so that's what I'm saying, but it could be applied to any sin. You know, if you know you're walking in unforgiveness, don't deceive yourself by saying that you're not. And the Bible says what? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of his glory, saved and unsaved. So there's going to come a time you're going to have to receive forgiveness after you get saved. There's going to have to come a time you're going to have to ask for forgiveness. And there's going to come a time you're going to have to forgive somebody. Walk in forgiveness. Forgive. Choose to forgive. Choose to be a person that forgives from the heart. Choose to be that person. So if we confess our sins, verse 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Immediately when you sin, confess to the Father and receive forgiveness. Repent. Repentance is a good thing. Thank God for it. Cleansing come to our soul and all unrighteousness leave. Now, we are righteous in our spirit, man, because we have the righteousness of Christ on the inside of us. But what leaves? That unrighteousness in your soul, that unrighteous thought, that unrighteous emotions. That's what you cleanse from. Our minds and our emotions, our heart are purified again. Because you walk, when you walk in sin, it mess, your mind gets unpure. Your thoughts are unpure. And so God comes in and He purifies all that when you repent. He purifies all that again. I remember having to pray and ask God. I said, God, deliver me from the very memory of that thing. Something that hurt me so bad. And I had forgiven it. But the memory still hurt. And I had to ask God. I had said, God, forgive me from the very hurt of that memory. So that when I think about it, I don't hurt no more. And God did that. He did that. So please agree with Holy Spirit quickly. Holy Spirit's job is to convict or convince the world and us of sin. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and you can find that in John 16:7-11. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, that all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's the scripture that we walk in now. We allow Holy Spirit to let all bitterness, take all bitterness from us. We allow Him to take away the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking. The Bible says, let evil speaking be put away from you. Who's going to do that? The Holy Spirit's going to put it away. Holy Spirit's going to take it away. And be kind to one another. How are we going to do that? Holy Spirit's going to help us. Our heart has changed. Holy Spirit lives in us. Kindness is in us now. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you. He forgave us. We ought to forgive each other. And we ought to forgive others. I'm going to have to speed up on this. What did you say, darling? Just take my time. So did Jesus' atonement include all sin? We're gonna tackle that now. We tackle what Jesus said about sin. We tackle why He said it, what He said about unforgiveness. We talked about what unforgiveness, what the church, early church said about unforgiveness. So now, did Jesus' atonement include all sin? Is the atonement include all sin? Some people don't think it did, but it did. Matthew 12:31. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy that will be forgiven you, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven you. So here Jesus saying, all sin is going to be forgiven man, but the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about what that is in a minute. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. What does blasphemy really mean? Evil speaking against the Holy Spirit, that's what blasphemy is. Slander, saying things that are injurious to another good name. So people speak evil against each other all the time. Even church people speak evil against one another. Yeah. It's sad, but it's true. But evil speaking against God and the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God, that's a serious thing. Wounding someone's reputation by evil reports and evil speaking. Trying to wound the reputation of the Holy Spirit by evil speaking. And people do that. Holy Spirit will be moving. And they'll know the Holy, it's the Holy Spirit sometime. And they'll speak evil against the movement of God. And it's so, I mean, that it is sad. And what else is blasphemy? Including the resistance against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is convicting you of something or anybody, and then you resist that, then that falls under blasphemy too. Okay, so it's real. What Jesus said is real. Do not blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. You know, but is it unforgivable? Is there a time when blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, speaking evil against the Holy Spirit, when it's forgivable? Colossians 3:8 says this, King James Version. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So what? Sounds like what? Somebody got forgiven of blasphemy, didn't they? The Colossian church, they were blasphemers, but they were forgiven. Now they were born again. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:12. This is Paul speaking. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, Paul called himself a blasphemer. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor, an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because what? I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Okay, so apparently, blasphemy done out of ignorance because of unbelief is forgivable. Paul was forgiven, the Colossians were forgiven. So when you blaspheme and you do it ignorantly, you don't really, you don't know God, you don't know what you're doing, it's forgivable. Why? Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is exceedingly abundant with faith and love. God's grace is so abundant that he forgives blasphemers when they do it ignorantly. So there's even forgiveness for that. Jesus said, what? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus was including, well, who was Jesus including in this forgiveness? I believe the whole world was in this prayer. He had definitely included everyone before Jesus, everyone during his life, and everyone to the end of the world. See, everybody was included in that prayer. But this forgiveness has to be believed and received through Jesus Christ becoming your Savior and Lord. Yes, Jesus' atonement did cover all sin. Since we are forgiven, we ought also to forgive one another. What happens is we as believers refuse to forgive. As with all sin, we open up a door and give place to Satan when we refuse to repent of sin. If you refuse to repent of unforgiveness, you will have to pay the price for it because you just open up a door to the enemy. You just open up a door to him. Sickness and disease come in when people are unforgiving. So we need to be forgiving. Ephesians 4:26 says this: be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. The Passion Translation says, but don't let the passion of your emotion lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel or for revenge, not even for a day. Nor give place to the devil. Don't give him any place, the Bible says. And when we walk in unforgiveness, we give him place. Matter of fact, when we walk in any sin, we give him place. Don't give the devil a place. Don't give him a place. And sin gives him a place. Even if you're not asked to forgive by the person that injured you, forgive them. Set them free. Set yourself free and them. Stop holding on to it. Jesus forgave us before we asked him. We just had to receive what he had offered by grace. Although we should ask for forgiveness from God and others, it's just the right thing to do. The right thing, ask for forgiveness, that's just the right thing to do. We're forgiven before we ask him, but it's forgiving Asking is the right thing to do. It's called repentance, admitting you're wrong and then doing what is right according to Scripture and according to how you are led by Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, go back, ask that person to forgive you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, do something nice for that person. Take them out to lunch. Buy them some flowers. Show them some love. Okay, I'm fine. I'm concluding, Donna Ray. I'm on the end. Romans 12, 17 through 21. Do not repay. Don't repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, sometimes it's possible in your end, but the other person got to agree to it. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, like I said a little while ago, if he's hungry, feed him. Take him out to lunch, buy him dinner. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. There is no room in the life of a believer for unforgiveness. No room for in our lives for unforgiveness. If you're on the path, forgive. Ask Holy Spirit to help you forgive. Forgiveness is not a feeling, but a choice. We choose to forgive because we have been forgiven. Holy Spirit gives us the ability and authority to forgive sin committed against us. Remember, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Not an easy subject, but a good one. We were forgiven. Christ died for our sins. We were forgiven. He forgave all our sins. He forgave the sins of the whole world. All we have to do is what? Believe that he died for us on that cross. Believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he had all your sins on the cross with him. He had you on the cross with him. You were on the cross when he died. He died as you on the cross. He paid for every sin, your past sin, your present sin, and any sin you might have to commit in the future. He paid for every sin. We just want to have to what? Believe he paid for him and receive him as our Lord and Savior in our heart. And say, Jesus, I receive your forgiveness for all my sins. I'm sorry. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You'll come in and make you a new creation. If you have unforgiveness, just say, Lord, it's been hard for me to forgive this person. I've tried. Help me to be forgiving. Help me forgive. Help me forgive. Lord, I'm frustrated with myself. I'm frustrated with my life. I'm frustrated where I'm going. I'm frustrated with what I'm doing. I've been there. Lord, help me forgive me. Help me forgive me. And help me walk in the way that you have for me. Help me walk in the life you have for me. I give you my life, Lord. I recommit my life to you. Yesterday we had commitment in our women's study, and it was such a great lesson on commitment. Sometimes we have to say, Lord, I have not been as committed to you as I ought to be. I have not been as committed to you as I want to be. So help me to commit everything to you. And commitment, we found out, yes, there's a daily thing. Just like forgiveness is a daily thing. Walking in forgiveness is daily. Commitment is daily. Every day we might have to recommit. Every day we're going to have to forgive. It's not just a one-time thing. So tomorrow somebody might make you mad again. You got to forgive again. So forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a free gift. Thank God it's free. You don't have to pay for forgiveness. You don't have to beg for forgiveness. But forgiveness is free. Forgiveness is free. So we should freely forgive. We have been freely forgiven. We ought to freely forgive. Amen. Let's stand. Miss Kate, you all right? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I want you just to think for a moment. Think, if there anybody you need to ask for forgiveness? Is she okay? Thank you, Jesus. That's okay. Sometimes you might just need a hug. Think, is there anybody you need to, that you need to forgive? Think about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind anyone you need to forgive. And then let's choose to forgive that person. Let's choose to forgive that person. And also think about yourself. Is there any area in your life where you need to forgive yourself? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Say, Holy Spirit, help me forgive myself. Hallelujah. Help me forgive myself, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And then ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you. Sometimes we lack commitment. We haven't walked like we should. We haven't done like we should. Just ask God to forgive you. He's already done it, but once you ask him, that helps you. That helps you receive that forgiveness he has for you. Amen. So just ask God to forgive you. He paid for the past sin, the present sin, and the future sin. Ask him for forgiveness, and he forgives. Thank God he forgives. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God that God forgives. He forgives sin. And we don't have to suffer it any longer. We don't have to pay for it any longer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And right now, I'll leave the altar open. And we're going to, if anybody wants desire prayer, if you want us to help you pray for anything you need prayer for, might be sickness, might be disease, might be prayer for forgiveness or receive forgiveness. And we also, since we have a new person here today, if anybody wants to get saved and accept Christ, the door is open for that too. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Does anybody want to tell me what you want forgiveness for? Amen. 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 Believe. Okay. Okay. Pray for what? Stability. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to be honest. You know you need Jesus, don't you? You know he's right there waiting for you, don't you? And anytime you want him, he wants you, right? And ain't nothing you've done or nothing you got going on that he ain't already paid the price for. Amen. He's more than able. He's more than able. Yes, he is. Amen. 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 That's all you got to do. Open the door. I heard one lady say one time, all it takes is a little crack. If a little crack, he'll come in. The door don't have to be wide open. He'll take a little crack and get his way in there. He really will. He really will. Which leg is okay? No problem. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Can I ask you a personal question? Okay. I know something about the hurt you've suffered. I just want to ask you, have you forgiven all of that? You think you have? Okay. Okay. Well, you know what we're going to do this morning? We're going to go through that forgiveness prayer again. But I'm still going to pray for your leg, though. Donnie, I think you need to go through that forgiveness thing, too. Okay. And I want you, amen. And I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father God, I forgive all the people at the church I used to go to that hurt me. It hurts terrible. It was very bad hurt. I could hardly get through it, but you brought me through. And I choose to forgive. I choose not to hold it against any of them. but I let them go free. And I forgive myself because I am not like who they said I was. I am like who you say I am. And I am like who you say I am. And I receive your forgiveness. And I thank you, Father God, for forgiving me. In the name of Jesus, I pray for healing right now of Kay's leg. And I say, leg pain, go in the name of Jesus. Pain, go in the name of Jesus. Pain, go in the name. Pain, go in the name of Jesus. Legs be healed. Legs be strong. Legs be strengthened in the name of Jesus. Strengthen these legs, Father, in Jesus' name. By your stripes, Kay has been healed. She's healed, and this pain has to go. It cannot stay in her body. Kay, I want you to say, pain in my legs, go in the name of Jesus. You have no right in my body. And I do not accept you anymore. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I will walk in healing. And I believe I'm healed. No matter how I feel right now, my body is healed in the name of Jesus. It's the will of God I be healed. God wants me healed. And I am healed. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. God, we thank you that pain goes in Jesus' name. That pain goes in the name of Jesus. That pain goes in the name of Jesus. And Kayla, I don't know if you're ready to give your life to Christ or not, but I'm going to pray for you whether you are or not. But you just let me know if you're ready to give your life to Christ. You are? Amen, amen. So we're going to pray for you then. Amen, amen. Well, so Jenny, you don't walk by yourself. He walks with you. He take you and put you on that path once you accept him. And guess what? He's with you every step of the way on that path. That don't mean the path gonna be easy, but it does mean he's with you. He's with you every step of the way. He's with you every step of the way. So I just want you to say, Father God, I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for all my sins. So all my sins are forgiven. I receive that forgiveness. And I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Change my heart. Take this life and do something with it. In Jesus' name. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to be alone. And I know you don't want me to be alone. So you sent the Holy Spirit. You sent the Holy Spirit to be with me always. So I receive Holy Spirit right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for saving me. Thank you, Father God, for filling me with Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Feel your daughter, Lord. Feel your daughter, Lord. Show her your way. Show her your way, Father God. Show her your way. Show her your way. Help her, Father God, to go and walk in your way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yep, sometimes you gotta, ain't nothing wrong with shedding tears. There ain't nothing wrong with shedding tears. So y'all hug Kayla, welcome into the body of Christ. Oh, Kayla, welcome into the body of Christ. She look, Lonnie let her off. Lonnie let her off. Oh, I forgot all about stopping the recording. Let me stop the recording.